received my Allbirds sneakers on Friday, and I've been kind of field testing them since. And these are probably the best sneakers I've ever owned.
No.
Yeah. Like, it goes back to that, you know, we were having this conversation about if you find something you like, should you try and buy 10 pairs of them just so that you have them for good? But the problem with that is you might be blinding yourself or sort of locking yourself out of a better option. And these things are seriously some of the best sneakers I've ever gotten in my life.
Tell me about that. What's so great about them?
Well, you know, like from a baseline, they look cool. Like, they look neat. They're sort of minimal. They don't have ridiculous logos all over them or a lot of these sort of unnecessary things that I think a lot of footwear kind of have nowadays. So they're minimal. They look cool. But the sort of like killer feature that I didn't fully appreciate going into this was that you could wear them without socks. Like, the sockless sneaker is the electric, it's like the Tesla vehicle of footwear, where it's like, once
like,
you
what
go,
do you mean your foot doesn't get sweaty or what?
Yeah. So, oh man. So I feel like socks are, they're like among the great perpetrators of the modern age. Like, historically, socks have really served like two real purposes. and one kind of like frivolous purpose. Like, historically, the purpose of them was to, if you lived in a cold climate, like, they keep your feet warm, like, they keep your feet from getting frostbite or something like that. So there's a real utilitarian purpose behind socks in that way. But the solution to that is just not to live in a cold climate. Like, we've sort of like mapped the globe more or less. Like, there's a lot of places and a lot of climates to live in. So there's no excuse to live in a cold climate if you can manage it. So that's like, that knocks that problem off of like the sort of like sock relevancy continuum. The second one is perspiration. So your feet are, like, on your, like, your body, like, your feet are among like the heaviest producers of sweat. Like, you sweat out of your feet more than other places on your body for the most part. And socks have done the job of kind of absorbing that moisture and then sort of allowing it to evaporate. So those are really historically the biggest reasons that socks have existed. There's like the third thing that like some people kind of use socks for are for fashion or personal expression, but socks are not the sort of way to express your personality. They're not an appropriate way to do that. Like, everybody I think has probably encountered this person in their lives where it's like, it's your wacky sock guy, you know, who has like, I'm expressing my quirky personality through my silly socks guy. But I feel like that's just, it's not right or appropriate to kind of, it's not the right place. It's like in the creative toolbox of ways to kind of express your personality, socks should be the last go-to sort of way to do that. So anyway.
So back to the birds, or the new birds.
So back to the birds. Well, yeah. So what they've done here is sort of eliminated the need for socks entirely by constructing the shoe itself out of wool, right? So, I mean, like, you kind of, when you go hiking, when you kind of, like, a great sock to wear if you're in a sort of, like, intense kind of activity are wool socks, because they are great at absorbing moisture and kind of dealing with even, like, odor and stuff like that. Like, and I don't, again, like, I don't really understand why this is the case, but it's just how it works. And so what they've done is constructed the shoe out of wool, and they kind of promote it as one of the features of the shoe on their websites, is that you can kind of wear it without socks. And because of this material, they're super breathable. They absorb moisture and, like, perspiration. And because it's merino wool specifically, it just has these characteristics where it reduces things like odor and all that. So your feet kind of stay dry. They're super breathable and they're ridiculously comfortable. Like it feels like you're wearing, like I have moccasins, that I wear around my apartment and sometimes out if I'm making a quick run to the grocery store.
Actual moccasins?
I don't know if they're, I don't know what an actual moccasin is, but it's like those ones that like slippers basically, you know?
Okay.
But I want to wear these sneakers in place of them.
So wait a minute. Okay, so if socks were there to soak up the sweat,
mm-hmm.
what happens to the sweat in these shoes?
I don't know. It just kind of
Does it evaporate?
Yeah, that's really what it does. It kind of just goes away, basically. Like my feet stay dry, the shoes kind of absorb it, and it just sort of evaporates away. And because of some sort of miracle property of this wool that they use, it doesn't leave behind stink or something, you know?
Oh, wow. That's incredible. Okay, but wait, now since it's wool, is it warm? Because...
Yes and no, but more no, I guess. and this is the same thing for the t-shirts that I have that are made of merino wool from Outlier. It has this weird sort of property where, thermal regulation property, where it's like the heat kind of goes, if it's warm and hot, the heat kind of just goes away, they breathe. And I haven't tested them in the cold, but I would kind of assume that it would insulate in the same way that the t-shirts that I wear do. Because I walk around Los Angeles with these, it's kind of like a thick, like these t-shirts are on the thicker side and they're made of wool and they're black. And I'll walk around in the sun and people will ask me aren't you hot wearing a black t-shirt in the radiating sun? And it doesn't really ever happen. I stay really cool. And if I wear cotton shirts, I don't feel that way. I get hot and sweaty and it's just terrible. And I really wish I understood more about the actual physics of it all because it's crazy how it works and how well it does.
Okay. So what about cleaning them? Because traditionally you have to dry clean wool, right?
Yeah. Well, this is one thing I'm a little scared of because they say you can just throw them into the washer, which to me is I want to see a Mythbusters on this whole situation because telling somebody that seems like something you would tell somebody whose washer you wanted to destroy is just throw your sneakers in there. But
I have actually washed my sneakers in my washer machine
and it works. It doesn't destroy the washing machine.
It actually works.
Do you put them in the dryer?
Sometimes.
Or you just air dry them and you just throw you just throw them in the dryer just in there and they just kind of bounce around and nothing gets broken
and
destroyed?
It's so loud though in the dryer that typically I'll just air dry them.
Yeah.
But you can do that. Okay, yeah, but that, so, whether you can or cannot do that is different than, this is a different material than my sneakers.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's difficult
but
to
describe. But they say you can. They're like, yes, go ahead and throw them in.
It
says
there's
no tag that says dry clean only.
Nothing like that. And that's kind of the promise of the whole thing.
But I need a pair.
You do. If I knew your shoe size, I would have sent you a pair probably on day two of having these because they're pretty amazing. But this is one of the sort of it's been liberating from, the idea of not having to wear socks is super liberating. But it also comes with now, I am more cognizant. So I feel one of the, and I don't want to be too broad strokes here. I don't want to generalize, but I feel for men and women, we have different sort of showering habits where I feel just the observations I've made in the past is that women tend to, when they bathe or shower, it's every square inch of the body is addressed, washed, cleaned, whatever. I feel for men, there are four or five, and this is, I'm speaking for myself, but I think safe to say that this is a fair generalization. There are probably four or five key areas of the body that are washed, and then the rest is sort of addressed by secondary just runoff or whatever, right? This is the key to a 10-minute shower that allows men to, like, okay, I decide I'm going to leave the house, and I can be out the door in 15 minutes from that point, whereas women take a whole lot longer. Oh, and man. Part of my routine historically has not been to really, like, clean my feet necessarily or spend a lot of time, like, scrubbing my feet or something. But now that I have these shoes that I'm not wearing socks in, I've been a lot more cognizant of it and trying to, like, or just, like, washing my feet in the shower. But every time I do...
We're going to get into this on another episode, what does and does not get cleansed in the shower.
Well, but this is a serious issue for me. But I hear what you're saying,
yeah. Well, I mean, even when you get out of the shower, just walking around, I mean, I suppose if you have your moccasins on, your feet probably remain clean, but...
Yeah, but it's challenging because I'm... Like now, it's a safety thing because every time I'm washing my feet in the shower.
Safety.
Well, I'm confronted with this. So I'm, you know, I don't have a bathtub, so I'm like upright, but your feet are kind of far from your body, right? So I have to sort of stand on one foot to clean the other. And every time I do, I'm confronted with this, the reality of if I make one sort of miscalculation in my balancing act here, like this could be where it all ends. Like I could slip and seriously injure myself. So it's like while liberation from socks has been a huge benefit, now every time I shower there's this like bit of danger of you know that sort of like hygienic upkeep. So I don't know what the solution is going to be there. I don't know if I have to start wearing a helmet in the shower or something, but this is part of the whole thing about like keeping them all clean. You know, and the other issue is that and this, you know, this isn't really, it always, whenever I get new shoes or sneakers or anything, I always completely forget about the sort of like initial break-in period. And something you know about me is that I like to walk a lot. Like I tend to, like I like to have access to my routine errands and all that stuff. I like to kind of like walk places. I like to be on my feet. And so I got these and I was, I thought, well, I'm going to go, you know, kind of walk around and do my daily sort of like running around in these sneakers. And I completely forgot about having to sort of break them in a little bit. Because when you get new shoes, they kind of like make contact with your feet in different places and all that stuff.
Did you get a callus?
Well, I didn't get a callus. I kind of needed to build them up. And the problem is that
if you did that with socks, would it have helped?
Yeah. So here's right. This is the real issue is that like I was kind of walking and I was starting to feel them rubbing against my heel and it was kind of pain. It was a little bit like just like uncomfortable and a little painful. And I tend to like when that kind of stuff happens, I tend to try to, well, you know, first of all, this is like an, you know, me and these shoes have like a new relationship, right? And so I wanted to kind of demonstrate to the sneakers who was going to be calling the shots here, you know, who was going to be in charge. And when they started to like rub against the back of my foot, like my heel, I kind of just rolled with it and just kept walking instead of, you know, stopping and going home and changing them or addressing in some other way.
That's great.
I just kept going. But the problem was that soon, like after walking a couple blocks in that way, it struck me that like, oh no, like this is like graduated to like, this is like a wound. Like it's not just like abrasive, but this is like a wound on the back of my foot. And A, I'm not wearing socks and B, these are white sneakers. So I kind of,
bad combo. Yes,
right. So I kind of stopped and took a look and like, sure enough, the back of them were just soaked in blood.
Oh,
like
no.
Tons and tons of blood, but not terrible. But not like not to the point where it kind of soaked through the back of the shoe, just sort of like on the inside.
So did you throw the shoes in the washer?
No, because again it was only internal. I just kind of I stopped off at a like a convenience store and bought some Band-Aids and kind of just patched it up. But it totally makes sense to wear some socks to kind of break it in or whatever the best way to kind of do that is. So that was the only other real issue. And then the sort of like third thing was kind of just that they are, they're kind of like fabric-y, like, or they're kind of like fuzzy or something. The outside of the shoe is not, it's not leather, and it's not something that, like it kind of like catches, almost like it almost has the consistent, like the feeling of like a blanket or like a wool jacket or something. And so like little things kind of catch on it. So like I noticed that after, and I walked like a fair amount, so I walked a couple of miles, and you kind of
like
just,
you
like,
need a lint roller for your shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's the thing. Like that's
these things are sounding high maintenance.
Well, I don't know if it's that bad. I mean, I wanted to, like, when I got back, I was looking at them and I'm like, are these a little darker than when I left? Like, did I pick, like, are these, and I still can't tell. Like, I almost wish I took like a before and after photo just to kind of get a sense of it. But yeah, there, it did pick up a little bit of stuff. So those were really the only issues that I had with them. It's just kind of like bleeding in them was not ideal. Having to worry about washing them, and I haven't washed them just yet, but that'll be the next like frontier of these things. And then like the only kind of wish that I have, or like the only item on my wish list at this point, is just that they made them in sort of like natural black color with like a white sole, so that I could fully replace those Nikes that I had with these. But they are pretty dope, so I would highly suggest picking up a pair.
All right, well, I don't know that I'll be getting a white pair, because they don't sound like they're as easy to clean as my leather white shoes, so.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, if it's just a matter of throwing them into the washer, though. And that's the other thing, too, is that, like, how often do you wash your sneakers? Like, is that something you do, like, once a year, or is that, like, a routine kind of thing?
It's probably more than once a year, but it's definitely not like a weekly thing. Like if I go hiking and, you know, I have my sneakers on, then I come back and I got to go in the washer.
I've never washed sneakers before. So we'll see. We'll see.
Hopefully just make sure you take the laces out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And wash them separate in like a little garment bag. I'm going to have to get you, like, a whole kit, like my coffee kit, like a garment bag, a little mini lint roller.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's like the additional upkeep is something to consider with these guys. But they are cool.
You would probably like the Left Shoe Company. There's this company, this place in Beverly Hills called the Left Shoe Company. Mm-hmm. And you go in, and the whole premise, I think, is that one foot is usually a different, slightly different size than the other, like just barely. Oh, and so they literally measure every dynamic of your foot from top to bottom, front to back, and then create a pair of shoes for you based on those specific measurements.
Oh, wow.
And they have sneakers too.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I'd be into that. I mean, are you able to choose the colors and all that stuff? Or do you have to pick from their sort of like pre-designed items?
Well, it's been a while since I've been in the store, but at the time, you chose from their selection. They had a pretty wide selection.
Wow, that sounds pretty dope.
We'll have to take a field trip.
Yeah.
So, interesting interview with Obama.
Did you watch that?
Yeah, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched clips from it.
Yeah, it's, you know, he's been pretty quiet. It's a pretty striking contrast with the current administration. You know, just the sort of, because he's like, it's funny, he spent the first thing they talked about in the interview was Michelle Obama and her sort of contributions to, or just her work. I mean, first of all, it's like, you know, he spoke really highly of his wife and women in general, which was kind of an interesting departure from what we've been exposed to lately.
Sure.
And then kind of, he's just like Barack Obama, whatever your politics are, I think it would be difficult to make an argument that he's not an elegant kind of, speaker and just overall, politician, you know, like Barack Obama is somebody that I would want to just hang with, I feel like, or like if you could have Barack Obama on like your board of directors or something. He kind of teased going into venture capital when they were asking him what he was considering doing after his presidency. And it's like, can you imagine having Barack Obama's like on your board or as an investor in your company? I think that would be so awesome. Letterman looks pretty crazy with that beard, though.
Yeah, I didn't even recognize him. I was like, is Santa up there interviewing, or what's going on here?
Yeah.
It's different, though. It's a different look.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if they told people, I don't know if they told the audience who he was interviewing ahead of time, because I Letterman kind of opened it up and was like, do you guys know who's coming out or whatever? And can you imagine if...
You went to a thing and it was like so like excited. It wasn't like a fake excitement when they hold up the applause sign and you know you're supposed to clap.
Right. Right. So that would be pretty crazy to be in that audience not knowing who's going to come out. It could be anybody, and Barack Obama walks out there. I think the next one's with George Clooney, and it's like, I don't know, you know, what are you going to hear from George Clooney about? I don't know.
He has a lot of swag.
George Clooney has a lot of swag.
Barack. I mean, Clooney too, but yeah.
Yeah. Barack Obama has tons of swag. He was just such a cool guy, like a really cool, cool in the classic sense of just coolness. So it was kind of refreshing. Like I said, he's been kind of quiet, so it was interesting to kind of see him up there. To share with you and kind of bring up a little bit is that I discovered I've recently implemented this new kind of thought technology in my life. Have you ever heard of the concept of a budget?
Of course. I'm the master at budgets.
You are a master at budgets. So I've been using this tool, this software service called You Need a Budget, or I think it's YNAB. It's kind of like they use that sort of abbreviation for their URL. It's YNAB.com. Mm-hmm. And it is, because you can kind of keep a budget in an Excel sheet or something. What do you, if you were going to advise...
I mean, Excel is certainly the simplest way to just get it going.
Yeah, but like, how do you, I mean, if you were going to advise somebody, if you were mentoring somebody and you wanted to encourage them to keep a budget, like what tools would you point them toward in order to do that successfully?
It depends. It depends on what works for that person. You know, I don't even know if this is necessarily a generational thing, but certainly some of the older clients that I've worked with have prefer to write things down literally on paper.
Oh my God. I don't even know if I can still write. Like, I don't know if I can even actually write if you give me a pen or pencil.
Right. So, you know, but you know, you're using paper and a pencil and you can, you know, erase and make modifications or whatever, with some organization. But for the more, technically savvy, short of having someone go out and purchase some sort of an, I don't know, you're going to tell me about this to see what the cost is, but a simple free solution is easily an Excel spreadsheet, and also in combination with Mint.
Yeah, so Mint was such a pioneer in this space. I feel like Mint was, and this so one of the great things about YNAB is that so first of all, they give you sort of like, here are your sort of... your categories that you're spending categories.
Yeah, just to clarify too, because the purpose of the spreadsheet is just a starting point. Like, here's what you should be spending. Here's your budget. Tracking it, that's a whole nother story, and that's kind of where the mints of the world come in.
Bingo, right? That's the whole thing. So you need a budget is, and I feel like Mint was always kind of like a here's what you spent kind of thing, and less of a, and maybe they had this tool and I just never used it, but what's so great about You Need a Budget is you start up by kind of filling out, here's all your different spending categories, and then you punch in what your income is going to be for, and it goes month by month. And the whole idea is to kind of, they have this great interface where you can kind of parcel out how you're going to divide up that income into your spending categories. And one of their things is like, give every dollar a job, right? So you start with like, here's your inflow, like what needs to be budgeted. And then you want to get that down to zero by putting every dollar to work somewhere, even if it's like, okay, I'm going to put $300 in my savings account or whatever. But then what they do is you connect it to your bank and credit cards and all of these, all of your places where you spend money. And that it does the tracking for you automatically. As transactions come in, it'll do its best to sort of guess where each thing is supposed to go, but then it allows you to sort of categorize them and approve them, and then helps you to track your spending across all those different categories. And if you need to, you can kind of move money. They have like these great little shortcuts to move money from one category to another. You know, so if you budget, okay, I'm going to put a few hundred bucks in this sort of category of stuff I forgot to budget for, and then you make a purchase on, you know, some unexpected software thing, you can kind of move money. They give you like really easy tools to kind of move money out of the one account and into the other. And I think it's a super great tool, but moreover, just this sort of approaching life with a budget is has really kind of changed the way I think about money and sort of spending it. In my 20s, I feel like my personal finance strategy was just sort of shoot first and ask questions later, which isn't terribly sustainable, or at least isn't a great strategy for building wealth long term. And now that I've got this sort of budget in play, every little decision, every little purchasing decision that I make, like I can run it through that line of thinking. And even stuff where like I have a budget, like I've budgeted money for fun or whatever, software subscriptions. You know, like I recently, like the other day, I subscribed to Hulu so that I could access a TV show that I wanted to watch. And I've got a budget for that kind of stuff, like a fun money budget or sort of like that kind of spending. And even though it existed, like it did go through my mind, like, do I really need this? Like, should I spend this? Like, is it really all that necessary? And that sort of computation occurs now every time that I spend money, which is really interesting. I mean, I remember, you know, thinking to myself, like, why doesn't Miriam just get Spotify Premium? Like it's $10 or something, and then you never have to listen to these commercials ever again. Like what, you know, how could it possibly be? But now I kind of get it, because it's like even to order Postmates or Uber Eats, I'm like, oh, I mean, I could spend this $5. And I have the $5. Like the $5 is not the issue. It's almost like it becomes a principal thing where it's like, well, I could just walk down the street and go pick that up, and then I've got $5 closer to, you know, my
something else.
My yeah, exactly. My G650 exactly. Or whatever. And so it's completely changed the personal finance game for me. So
that's exciting. Yeah, it's I could exciting. Be a billionaire and I still would not spend money on Spotify Premium.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, like some things
subscription
in life are
services in general. Yeah. You know, if this is helping you save money, I mean, that's yeah, obviously it pays for itself. But in general, you can get, you know, a little. There's so much, you know, imagine if you did Pandora and Spotify and Apple and, you know, next thing you know, you're spending like $100 a month just on music apps. So.
Right. Totally. Yeah. And yeah, absolutely. So, OK, so that, you know, I've sort
so
of
So is
integrated.
This just more like a modern day Mint or kind of a
yeah
fun.
Kind of I mean it's, you know, I think again I think Mint, the focus of Mint was at least when Mint, you know, the early days of Mint, I can't really speak to what that service kind of became in the past few years, but when it first kind of came out, Mint was always like here's an insight into like what you spent last month or something, or like here's what your spending goes toward. It was less like of a let's establish a budget for you and help you to stay within that budget and make adjustments as necessary on the fly. And maybe that was how it worked. And I just, again, didn't get it. But I feel like in the early days, it was kind of just like, here's analytics on your spending and less like, let's get a budget for you.
Yeah, this seems to be more interactive.
Yeah, it's a little more interactive. And the other thing that they do so well is education as a piece of it. So they've got a podcast, they've got a blog, they're really kind of prolific in this. Here's how to get the best results and use the tool well. And like they do their best to kind of teach people about budgeting and how to sort of be financially responsible. And it's really kind of, I mean, I didn't really fully appreciate how much anxiety I kind of had around kind of just there's money, I guess, you know, until or spending or whatever, sort of just understanding if I had enough money to do what I wanted to do, especially in the long term. And having it all budgeted and sort of figured out, because you can kind of budget like months into the future if you wanted to, or at least even if you just kind of have it all figured out, like where your money's going, and understanding of that and, you know, spending less than you make or whatever, it just gave me like an immense amount of like just a wave of just, like serenity washed over me once it clicked, you know, once I was like, oh wow. So it's like, I'm cool. Like I'm good. Like I've actually got like plenty of runway here or whatever. Cause
it feels good, doesn't it?
It's amazing. And again, this is, and it kind of goes into that whole thing of just of sitting there really considering every dollar spent or something, instead of being like, well, I could go out and like drink tonight, but like, is that actually, you know, is that going to, like, what does that do for me? Like, how does that add to the situation there?
Yeah.
Or help me to sort of like be better off in the long term or something. And so like, again, like that thought process occurs pretty much with every purchasing decision now. So it's been really, really good.
And so did you put in any goals, like big ticket items?
You know, not really. You know, I put like a savings category in there. I put to like parcel off some money to start to like build savings. I put a like a vacation guy in there that I like may use eventually.
You will. But that's good. No, that's a great start, especially with savings, because everyone should have an emergency fund.
Yeah.
Minimum, especially like right now, it should at least be 3 to 6 months. And then.
And that's like 3 to 6 months of like your budget. Like, say, like you've got
that's your basic expenses, not like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go to Starbucks and get a Frappuccino every day, but like, right, okay, food, rent.
Yeah. You
know, phone, those kinds of things.
So like the income stream just stops. You should be able to like live for 6 months.
But yeah, absolutely. Yeah. God forbid you like you got injured or something happened. Like,
right.
Loss of work.
Yeah. So how many people, like what percentage of the population, I mean, like, do you think maintains a budget or is comparably responsible when it comes to planning their finances and future and stuff?
You know, it's a very small percentage, but it's not the reason why is not like stupidity or people don't necessarily want to do these things, but we're not taught these things in school. Like there's a lack of education around it.
That makes me feel good because I did feel a little bit like,
like if you think almost about it, like in junior high and high school, did anyone ever have a class or teach you, okay, here's how you balance a checkbook? Not that anyone uses checkbooks anymore, but like, you know, back then.
Yeah.
Or just some basic things like, here's how much interest your credit card's going to charge you. And if you only make the minimum payment, basically you'll never pay off your debt. Like these classes didn't exist.
No, they didn't exist. They did not. I mean, I don't think they did.
They didn't.
And nobody, but the thing is, it's so simple though, right? Like if you just kind of sat down and did it, it's like, the security, the sort of just mental security that it affords is a pretty, it's so liberating. And it just feels really good to know that, like, you know, again, you're okay. Like you've got runway or whatever you want to call it. So okay, so I've like the budget thing I've kind of figured out, and this is an amazing technology that I've integrated and feel so much better about. Like, what else am I missing? Is there anything else out there that I could be implementing that is going to bring me similar levels? And I'm talking mostly just about like where it comes to finance or you know, where it comes to wealth and that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, the next step after you develop a savings plan and you have your emergency fund is, and I don't even necessarily, I don't want to necessarily say it's like the next step because you can do these things simultaneously, but you have to start with some money. And so when you have to put your money into something that your money can grow. For example, right now you put it. Maybe not just yet, not until it's a little bit more measurable. We'll see if Buffett backs it at some point. But in the interim, it depends on what your goals are, of course. Mm-hmm. But if you put your money in a savings account, you're not going to outpace inflation. And so you need to have your money somewhere where it's growing at least at a higher rate than inflation. And so some sort of retirement account, some sort of, you know,
what's
investment fund of sorts.
Right. But how do you, so how do you go about setting goals though? I mean, cause right. Everybody's goal is to,
it has to be based on your own personal goals. Like literally everyone has different desires.
Yeah.
You probably want to have a house with a helipad on top of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So the plan we would put together for you would be a lot more aggressive in really high risk, high yield accounts yeah. than the average person. But again, you got to start, you know.
Right.
With the basics.
Yeah. So it's just kind of like the, once you've kind of got the basics, like a budget and your sort of like money management stuff figured out, it's all about investing to grow that as quickly or maybe not as quickly as possible. But
yeah. I mean, literally as quickly as possible, right?
So what do you do then? You just set a goal. You're like, by this age, I want my net worth to be this amount. And then you just kind of work backwards from that exactly. to figure out which strategies are going to get you there.
Exactly. You factor in inflation, you factor in when you want to retire, what age you want to stop working, depending on what retirement means to you, right?
Yeah, because I don't ever really want to stop working.
Right, but, you know, probably in your case, like, or most people's cases, you want to be to a point where work is an option.
Okay, so that makes sense. So you want to be able to have, but like what, and I guess that's like, when do people usually retire? Like 50 or 60 or like 60 or 7? Like when is the average retirement age?
Well, it's gone up. Or the ideal used to one, be. I guess. Yeah, ideal. But again, it depends on what your idea of retirement is. Some people are, you know, in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and that's...
Well, if it's all about optionality, is it just about sort of like maintaining...
What do you want? When do you want to retire?
Well, I mean, I don't ever really want to retire. I mean, I guess if retirement is really just like, okay, now you could choose to stop working and you could be existing on what you have left for until it's over.
Yeah, let's define it for you. Let's define retirement as the option to work, but being able to live the lifestyle you want to live.
Right. See, the thing is, like, I don't want that to be 60. Like, when do you become impotent? Like, when do you, you know, like, when do people...
Again, this is up to you. So what do you want it to be, 40?
Yeah, like, I want to be able to... What's the point of, you know, like, you want to be able to enjoy yourself, right? Like, I don't want to be limited to like, golfing or sort of just kind of... you know, like, I want to still be young enough to have energy to go, you know, do whatever... But then, you know, I guess what I do with my time now is really just not even that active. It's difficult to say, but I mean, it's definitely something I'm thinking about a lot now. Now that I've sort of been exposed to the frameworks of, you know, personal finance, it's something I'm spending a lot of time thinking about, like planning and trying to get some answers to those questions.
Well, I hope I've been helpful here. We can talk a lot more offline about this, of course, and put together an actual budget and plan. for retirement for the future.